Now, how much should you be paying for residential care? And how can you judge value for money? The regulator, the Care Quality Commission, rates only around 60 residential and nursing homes in England as outstanding out of almost 14,500 that are registered. The Commission points out in its annual reports that the very best homes aren't necessarily the most expensive. So how does a home achieve an outstanding rating? Our reporter Bob Walker went to visit one.
I'm outside the Old Hall Care Home in the village of Billingborough in the Lincolnshire countryside to the east of Grantham. It's a beautiful Grade 2 listed 17th century manor house with the spire of the parish church looming over it. It's rated as outstanding. So how do they achieve that? And from the outside it certainly looks expensive. So is it simply a case of money?
This side is what we call the cottage.
Lee Rochford is the business manager here.
The first side is decorated as a beach theme.
You've got some old posters.
They are replicas of sort of 50, 60 of times that they recognise, so we showed them images online of these kind of pictures.
There are 19 residents. The local authority pays a basic £480 a week for the people they place here. The cost for those paying for themselves starts at around £600, though fees can vary according to the amount of care that individuals need.
This is the dining room. It's been a little bit of a quiet area as well, so like if family come, they can sit down in here and it's a little bit quieter. And we've got a resident, he puts a lot of bets on a Saturday morning on the horses, so obviously the telly's ideal for him in here with the table and bits and pieces.
And I can't help but notice a mini bar on the wall.
Yes, we have a few that like a little bit of a tipple and that, and why not, yeah, especially on a Sunday. They drink in moderation, they're all right, fine.
Karen Cooley is the manager at Old Hall. The average residential fee across the UK is £592 a week, £832 for nursing fees. And in London, the average residential cost is £970, with one home in Chelsea charging £3,000. So what makes Old Hall an outstanding home when they're at the lower end of the price range?
I think a key word at the moment is person-centred care, and I think although a lot of social places are saying, yes, we do person-centred care, but I think there are aspects of person-centred care and wellbeing that they are missing.
What do you actually mean by person-centred?
What I mean is every resident that comes to us has clear value, and we want them to feel totally empowered and take control totally of their own life. Right from the very outset, we find out what they want, what their plan is, what their routine is, what their habits are, and we adapt around them.
You're listening to their views.
The residents here have total input on everything, right down from a colour of a wall. It's their home, so they pick what they want to happen, what they want to do.
18 of the 20 most expensive homes are rated as outstanding, but those described as good are as likely to be in the top 30 as the bottom 30 ranked by cost, so you can't judge on price alone. Andrew Kay is head of policy at the charity Independent Age, which campaigns on behalf of older people.
Our work has demonstrated, and others have shown, that actually more expensive care homes are not necessarily always the ones that are rated by the Care Quality Commission as better quality homes.
Why do you think that is?
In many markets, the customer is often king. For all the good care that's on offer, customers are often very much left in the dark. They don't necessarily have all the information they're telling us they want to make a decision about which care home to choose. Let's not forget that local councils, at least in England, are the primary purchasers of care. If you're not entitled to care from your council, if you have more than £23,250 in assets, then actually you're on your own. So you don't have at all good information about actually what good value looks like in this very, very opaque care homes market.
Back at the Old Hall, the grand staircase leads to an anteroom, where I find Mike Kirby hard at work.
I'm helping out doing a bit of decorating.
So what have you been doing here?
Emulsion, paper the ceiling, a new mural on the wall there.
Mike's wife Frieda was a resident. He became a volunteer handyman here after she died. He paid a basic £640 a week, plus £140 for extra services. Other, larger homes he looked at cost more than £1,000.
Frieda used to sit in the chair out there, and every time any of the staff went by, because she'd got dementia, and the door would have a little word with her, and she used to brighten up. It was lovely. I don't think you can get that on a ward of, say, 40 dementia people. The very first time, probably 7 years ago, I did let Frieda go to another one just for respite care. And she went in there for a week, and when I fetched her back, I didn't recognise her. It was that bad. She was bent over. She'd never been to the toilet and looked after. She'd got just living in rags. She'd never been changed, never had her hair combed.
Would it be your contention that money doesn't necessarily make...
I don't think it follows at all. I really don't.
Professor Martin Green, the chief executive of Care England, which represents independent care services, rejects suggestions the cost of care is unfair or that residents are contributing to unreasonable profits. He says the real reason some homes are struggling is because of the low rates paid by local authorities who are able to negotiate below-cost price deals.
I think there are some really big issues about the way in which local authorities are delivering care, and the power that they have in the system is vastly disproportionate.
So those who are paying privately out of their own pocket are funding the others?
Well, I think what we should say is that those who are paying privately are paying the true costs of care, and the local authority are getting away with paying significantly below the true cost of care. And what that does, of course, it means there is less money in the system for things like investment and a range of other things that would improve care services.
Value in Care, a charity which analyses costs and negotiates on behalf of residents, believes a reasonable rate for good residential care is around £500 to £550 a week, with an extra £150 for nursing care. Its director, Ray Hart, says families should be wary of superficially impressive fixtures and furnishings, known as the swags and tails effect.
The majority of the price that you're paying is actually going towards the care rather than the look of the building. And really, they're the sort of areas you need to be concentrating on. Do they provide good quality care? How much are the staff being paid? What sort of extra staff are being put on, the size of the room, the facilities like the ensuite bathroom, those sort of areas, rather than does it have a grand piano in the lobby?
No grand piano at the old hall, but there is that jukebox in the corner. Here, they argue, most homes should be capable of following their model and providing outstanding care. Judy Downey is chair of the National Relatives and Residents Association. She says there aren't enough outstanding homes, not enough is being done by the Care Quality Commission to help relatives make the right choices.
The actual reports are often very little use to relatives who are choosing a home. They don't say enough about turnover or details about the manager, whether there is a manager in post. There's often not enough detail about buildings and facilities, and that makes it really hard to know if it would meet their needs.
That information just isn't out in a register anywhere. That whole range of information you've outlined is not easily accessible.
No, it may or may not be. It depends on the individual inspector. And there are some reports that are written that really give you a very good picture, but unfortunately they seem to be in the minority.
That's Judy Downey from the Relatives and Residents Association ending Bob Walker's report. Well, we thought we should put her concerns to the Care Quality Commission, the regulator of all health and social care services in England. Andrea Sutcliffe is its Chief Inspector of Adult Social Care. I spoke with her a little earlier.
Our information is available on our website. People can access that information by inputting a postcode, and we have asked people who are using the website whether they found it easy to find the information. Over 80% of people said that they did, and we also asked them whether they found the information that they got to be useful, and over 90% of people said that they did find it useful.
Are you rating the right things? Your reports don't mention value for money, and yet for many, many people and families, money is severely limited and they want to know whether the home they're choosing offers value for money.
Value starts with whether it is a quality service, and that is our responsibility, is to share with people our assessment and our judgment of what the quality of the service is. So that is what we are doing by asking the questions as to whether the service is safe, caring, effective, responsive to people's needs, and whether it is well led.
Shouldn't you be including staff ratios and complaints procedures?
We do provide information as to whether we felt there are sufficient staff for the needs of the people who are living in the home, and we do include information about how well people have responded to complaints and whether they have a culture which is inclusive that actually enables people to share their concerns in an appropriate way.
Judy Downey believes reviews depend more on the inspector's impression on a particular day than any sort of reliable template comparing like with like. Is she right about that?
Absolutely not. We have set out in detail what the characteristics of good and outstanding services are and the characteristics of those services that require improvement or are inadequate. That's what our inspectors make their judgments on, and those are quality assured and peer reviewed within the organisation to make sure that they are consistent.
The Relative and Residents Association Chair Judy Downey, she also says, why don't you ask for feedback from residents in care homes when you ask for it from patients in hospital?
We are regularly told by families that they want our visits to be unannounced, so it's a bit difficult to talk to people in advance. But we have introduced ways of sharing with people that we have been there to leave the name and number of the inspector so that they can be contacted afterwards, and indeed many people do.
But in hospitals and GP surgeries and so on, people are regularly surveyed, aren't they, for feedback, not in care homes?
One of the things that we are looking at is how can we use the other options that we've got to ask people their views of care homes and of domiciliary care services, which we also regulate, having focus groups and those sorts of things, and very much look forward to working with the Relatives and Residents Association and for them to help us to make those connections even better in the future.
You mentioned in your annual reports that paying more won't necessarily mean the best service, in the sense that you say that the best care homes are not necessarily the most expensive. Are you making that clear enough to the public?
Spending a lot of good money does not necessarily guarantee you good quality. Clearly, if there is insufficient money and the service is not very resilient, that might be a problem. The clear thing that we are doing is sharing with people what the quality of the service is, what they should be expecting, and what our judgment is when we've been in there against those clear characteristics that we've set out.
Judy also talks about what she sees as the shameful statistic that 48% of all care home staff have no qualifications.
We've got thousands upon thousands of dedicated, committed staff. Now, they need to be supported, they need to be trained, and they need to be valued, and the difficult job they do needs to be recognised. So I'm not underestimating that, but I do think that we have some amazing people out there doing a great job.
That's Andrea Sutcliffe from the Care Quality Commission. You're listening to You and Yours, Radio 4's consumer programme. Now, when it comes to romance, it seems that we British are an extravagant lot. We spend an average of